I'm Derek Russell.
And I'm Brad Locke, and this is The Memo.
A gathering of all things Northeast Mississippi, brought to you by The Daily Journal and DJournal.com. Good afternoon. It is Thursday, July 7th. You're on The Memo. I'm Derek Russell, joined by Leslie Chris today. Leslie, how are you doing?
I'm fine, Derek.
Always my favorite person to have on with me. I have no qualms with saying
that. I bet you say that to every single person who sits in this chair.
I do not. Well, we learned yesterday. Well, of course, Brad's never here. But we learned yesterday that Lauren is very unpatriotic and hates the United States of America.
Really?
Yeah. She doesn't like working on the 4th of July.
She said she hates the 4th of July was the way she worded it.
She said she hates working on the 4th of July.
So
yeah, I didn't know that until I read your column.
Yeah,
Deanne and I were talking about that after reading it. That,
I think they've come around a little because they were having some fireworks this past 4th, I know. And so they do a little something now. But my friend Gordon Cotton, he was not happy with me when I invited him to a little 4th of July party. We don't celebrate that.
That was interesting to me. You said that the post office was even open?
Yeah. That's what Gordon said, that it didn't close down on the 4th for years. I believe they do now. It's another hot day.
I just didn't know if y'all were going to keep going or not. It is a hot day. At least it's not hot in here today.
That's true.
The past few times in here, it's been sweltering.
I'm a little chilly.
You brought a jacket in this morning.
Yeah, it's kind of chilly to me right now.
That feels good to me. We were sweating in here yesterday. It's probably due to all the lies Lauren told, but yeah. It's neither here nor there.
Poor Lauren.
How are things? Are things good?
Things are good.
Okay. No stories to share? Anything?
I went to Auburn, Alabama this weekend.
You did? What did you do in Auburn, Alabama?
I went to help pack up a house that belongs to my Uncle Bob.
Did you find any hidden treasures?
Oh, my, yes.
Yes? Anything worth anything?
Oh, my, yes. My dad went and stayed with him a couple weeks ago, and dad's 85 and Bob's probably about 79, and they made multiple trips to the bank because Bob's wife through the years has picked up his spare change when he emptied his pockets at night, and they ended up taking probably, I don't know how many pounds of change, but probably $6,000 to $7,000 worth of change that Bertha had hidden around the house in boxes through the past 40, 50 years.
That's amazing.
So I'm starting to throw my change in a little bowl and hope that I can retire on my change.
$6,000 to $7,000 just all of a sudden would be nice after several years. Well, good. Well, we have a full episode today for you. We've got a lot to talk about in the city of Tupelo, stemming off the June 18th shooting of Antoine Shumpert. Caleb Bedillion and William Moore will be joining us to talk about the dual press conferences held by the city of Tupelo and the representation for the Shumpert family yesterday. Josh Mitchell from Corinth today will be joining us to talk about the Corinth Slugburger Festival going on this weekend, as well as Scott Morris joining us to talk about the movie that he reviewed this week in the scene section. So we're going to go ahead and get started. We want to remind you that today's show is sponsored by South, a locally owned restaurant offering fine dining in a casual atmosphere. Check out South on North Gloucester Street in Tupelo. Up first today, as I mentioned, we're discussing the ongoing investigation into the June 18th incident that officer-involved shooting of Antoine Shumpert here in Tupelo. Caleb Bedillion and William Moore joining us now to discuss two separate press conferences that took place yesterday between the city and representation for the Shumpert family. Guys, thanks for joining us.
Glad to be here.
Glad to be here.
Kind of walk us through, obviously we've been going through this what seems like almost nearly a month now, but the back and forth of press conferences has... this is our fourth exchange, third exchange where we've done this.
Let's just say this is not the first time we've had dueling press conferences same day.
This is not the first rodeo by any stretch of the imagination. Walk us through what Mayor Shelton unveiled in his speech.
Right. Well, in an interview with the Daily Journal last week, Jason Shelton had, kind of outlined some details about what, according to the Tupelo Police Department, happened and led up to Officer Tyler Cook's shooting of Antoine Shumpert. But yesterday, greatly expounded on those previous remarks and particularly filled in what authorities allege was the reason for the traffic stop. Now, for those of you that may not recall, the shooting happened after Mr. Shumpert was pulled over by a Tupelo Police Department officer, and then Mr. Shumpert fled from the scene. That was captured by a nearby security camera. I think it had been referred to as a routine traffic stop, and certainly in his federal lawsuit against the city, Mr. Shumpert's family's attorney, Carlos Moore, had said there was no probable cause for the stop, and he had repeatedly demanded that the city say why. Now, according to what Mayor Shelton said yesterday, the Tupelo police were conducting a planned surveillance of the townhouse motel on South Gloucester Street. And the surveillance was conducted because of numerous complaints the department had received about
drug activity,
rampant drug sales at the motel. So, you know, allegedly the police were surveilling the motel, a vehicle driven by Mr. Shumpert, though it didn't belong to him, so police would have had no way to know he was driving it, entered the hotel parking lot and then exited the parking lot 3 minutes later. This aroused suspicions that perhaps the vehicle was participating in a drug buy. And so an officer tailed Mr. Shumpert's vehicle. And authorities allege that it had no tag light on the vehicle and that at one point he failed to use a...
Or twice he failed to use turn signals.
Mm-hmm. Right, failed to use
turn... Which would be... enough for an officer to pull somebody
over. Right. So obviously, you know, maybe if they had... just been randomly, they'd seen him not using the turn signal, might not have pulled him over. I'm sure we've all done that at some point. But since they suspected that he might have been involved in some drug activity at the motel, they initiated a traffic stop. Now, it is important to note that as far as we know, no contraband or drugs or paraphernalia was found in the vehicle.
Nobody's ever mentioned anything about drugs being found.
The passenger who did not flee the stop and who actually owned the car was not charged with anything. And I have been told by Moore that the vehicle has been turned back over to the passenger, Mr. Foster. And so as it turned out, it would seem that no drug activity was involved, but we can't speculate too heavily about that with the information we have. But that's the reason the city says the stop was initiated. William, as I recall, did Carlos Moore address this new information in his press conference?
He briefly touched on it, and he was saying that, you know, the lack of a tag light was not a justified reason for stopping somebody, but in practice it is. I mean, I go through police reports, you know, on a daily basis, and that's one of the things that, you know, officers will see and will pull somebody over. And usually only after, if there are other infractions as well,
right,
they actually start giving citations.
Right.
Normally on something like that, I mean, if the person has a license, has proof of insurance, the officer will tell the person, all right, well, your tag light's out, you need to get that fixed, and send them merrily on their way.
Right.
You know, in this case, but, you know, they pulled the guy over, and before they could get any kind of, you know, conversation between them, you know, Mr. Shumpert
took off
running.
Before he could even approach the car, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, whether we like it or not, very minor violations are often used as a pretext to pull someone over looking for more serious violations.
Correct.
But I did find it interesting, given that the text of the suit very clearly said that, you know, there was no probable cause for the stop, and given that he had made repeated demands, I expected the attorney, Mr. Moore, to make a little bit more out of the city's revealing what it says was the reason for the stop.
Shifting gears there to Mr. Moore's press conference, not a lot was said about Mayor Shelton's notes from the city.
Touched briefly on it. I mean, basically, he was going back. He was reiterating some of his original claims, you know, about the fact that the dog attacked Mr. Shumpert, that, you know, his medical experts say injuries were caused by the dog, as opposed to during the mayor's press conference was saying that the dog only clamped down on his arm after the dog was sent up under the house to retrieve.
Or try to get Mr. Shumpert to leave.
Root him out.
Or get out from under the house.
A lot of what he had to say still dealt heavily with this 2008 report more than anything.
All right. The attorney, Mr. Moore, is still relying heavily on that for, you know, his press conference. I mean, he's still talking about the 2008 Essex report. He, you know, called for the Department of Justice to come in and start a criminal investigation on Tyler Cook and the entire Tupelo Police Department, and offered, you know, his unredacted copy of this 8-year-old ethics report to, you know, the FBI if they needed it.
Yeah. The other thing I think that came out of this was his this report that he had gotten from the forensic expert in Washington, D.C. that we had not heard about before.
Correct. The attorney and his investigators went to the funeral home and took pictures of Mr. Shumpert's body, you know, after he'd already gone through emergency surgery at the hospital and had undergone an autopsy.
Yeah.
You know, and they alleged that, you know, some of the injuries were caused by a dog. You know, the original hospital report says that the injury to the groin was caused by a gunshot.
Right.
And the New York Times, I mean, their expert said that it did not appear to be caused by a canine. No, but, you know, Carlos Moore is still saying that his expert said it was caused by, as he said, a vicious attack by a dog.
Mm-hmm.
But then you have, of course, the city released pictures of the dog, who it's an 8.5-year-old Belgian Malinois,
mm-hmm.
who is about time for him to be retired.
Right.
Just say it, the dog's... doesn't have teeth.
Yeah.
According to the photos, the city released.
In the photos, I mean, it looked like he would gum somebody more than bite.
More than anything. Where do we go from here? I mean, I know obviously we're still waiting on the FBI investigation, whether or not, you know, with that being overseen by the FBI, we're still going towards grand jury, which doesn't mean until September. Is this still going to be a back and forth between the city and the Shumpert family of these press conferences revealing more details in your opinions, or how
I'm thinking the city has pretty much said what they're going to say, and they're going to kind of hold off. I mean, because there's not much more they can release, you know, until the full autopsy is done and the NBI investigation is completed. I have a feeling that the Shumpert family attorney is going to try to continue to hold press conference to keep this in the public's eye. You know, and then you have the separate group, the Coalition of Concerned Pastors and Leaders, who are also trying to keep this issue up on the forefront, because they had a separate press conference. It was a third press conference yesterday as well, where they're continuing to ask the city, you know, to have a citizens review board basically to oversee police activities.
Yeah, I agree with William that based on what I'm told, the city is pretty much done here until the grand jury meets and either issues no indictment or chooses to indict Officer Cook. I think the city feels, and Mayor Shelton, I think, told media yesterday, in a perfect world, he doesn't think it was appropriate to hold a press conference yesterday and release the details that were released. He thinks, you know, there should not have been much released about the incident until a full investigation was completed. But given the unrest in the community, he felt compelled to release some. But certainly, I think the full autopsy report, once that's out after the grand jury is done, will be the really interesting stuff, because that will definitively settle the questions, because there will be detailed photos before and after the autopsy. So it'll definitively settle what kinds of wounds Mr. Shumpert had received prior to the autopsy. And then, you know, experts can determine what may have been a dog attack or not.
Go from there. Either way, September is still a long way away. So a long way to go with this.
It's not over.
Yeah. All right, William, Caleb, thanks for joining us today.
All right.
Look for the two sports podcasts we produce here at the Daily Journal. Prep Rally is a high school sports podcast with Brad Locke and Gene Phelps. New episodes air every Wednesday. You can watch the webcast live at around 11 a.m. at djournal.com. The podcast version drops later that day. You can listen to it for free in iTunes or other podcast apps, or stream at preprally.djournal.com. Again, there was no episode this week. They'll be back next week. And also, Ole Miss and Mississippi State fans, check out the Double Coverage podcast. Ole Miss beat reporter Parrish Alford and MSU reporter Logan Lowry release a new episode each Thursday afternoon in which they provide game previews, insight, commentary, and analysis on the Bulldogs and Rebels. Listen to it for free in iTunes, podcast apps, or stream at doublecoverage.djournal.com. You can also watch the Daily Journal's Capitol View webcast each Monday afternoon at djournal.com. Capitol Bureau Chief Bobby Harrison provides commentary and analysis on the issues being debated in Jackson. Watch live on Monday afternoons at 2 or catch the replay later in the day.
Today we have with us Josh Mitchell from Corinth Today to talk about the Corinth's famous Slug Burger Festival, which is coming up this weekend, actually starting today. Hey, Josh.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Tell us a little bit about what's going on in Corinth today through Saturday.
There's going to be a lot of exciting things going on here. Each day, Thursday through Saturday, music's going to be taking place in the city. They got several live bands performing, and they're going to have a carnival going on. And on Saturday, they're going to have a slug burger eating contest with some of the nation's top eaters there, including the guy who won last year. And so it should be a lot of fun.
Do you remember how many he ate last year? Do you have any idea?
I was just looking that up. He also competed in the 4th. He also won the July 4th hot dog eating contest in Coney Island, I believe. So his name's Joey Chestnut, and he is a world-class eater, that's for sure.
Have you eaten a slug burger?
Yes, they're really good. I ate one soon after I moved to town, but I'd never heard about them prior to that, but I'm glad I have know about them now because they are tasty.
Will this be your first Slug Festival?
Yes, it will be, but I've already got a good season. It's going to be a lot of fun, so I'm looking forward to taking my family down there, but I'll also be covering the events down there, so it should be a good event to cover as well as enjoy with my family.
Make sure when you're down there that you actually watch them cook one.
Yeah. Well, I grew up in the South, so I enjoy fried food. So a slug burger's right up my alley.
All right. Well, it looks like there's a lot of good music on tap, including a guy who's going to be traveling with Garth Brooks, which is pretty exciting.
Yeah, that is exciting. You know, it shows the kind of entertainment that this festival is able to draw. It looks like they have a pretty diverse lineup of bands, and tonight the event gets kicked off with a Slug Idol contest. It's going to start at around 6 o'clock tonight here at the Care Garden in downtown Corinth, where all the activities are going to be held. And the Slug Idol contest, like I said, will start around 6, and it's going to be kind of some people from the area showing their talents on stage, and after that I guess they'll crown the winner of that, and then there's going to be a local band, Mississippi Queen, perform after the Slug Idol contest tonight, and the lead singer in that band I believe was the winner of Slug Idol last year, so that'll be a good thing.
And tell me what people have to pay to get in each night.
Let's see, tonight it is $5 for the music, and then Friday at 7, and then Saturday it's 10. And the carnival is free to get into, but I would think you'd have to get tickets and things for the rides and whatnot, but just to go to the, just to enter the carnival would be free.
Well, it sounds like there's, go ahead, sorry.
I assume the I don't believe there's a charge to attend the Slug Burger eating contest, which will be on Saturday at 4 o'clock at the Care Garden in downtown Corinth. And based on some pictures I've seen, that draws a pretty big crowd to see those people eat those slug burgers. And I did find that fact that last year the winner ate 33 slug burgers.
Oh my gosh! Oh my goodness, that's a lot of slug burgers.
Yeah.
Well, it sounds like a lot of fun and good food and good times, good music down in Corinth this weekend, tonight through Saturday. So everybody go out to the Slug Burger Festival.
And, yeah, so long.
Thanks, Josh.
Thank you very much.
The Daily Journal is excited to announce a change on our website that will allow more people to consume as much of our content as they want. We recently have removed our paywall, and djournal.com is now free from the first click to the last. We also have increased our multimedia content by launching new products ranging from videos to webcasts. The website complements our print product, the Northeast Mississippi Daily Journal. Visit djournal.com to stay informed on the latest news in Northeast Mississippi. Whether you want a recipe for tonight's dinner or details on the city's plan to revitalize neighborhoods, you can find it all in one place. There's no limit to what you can do at djournal.com. So come and stay a while and leave informed about the communities we serve.
Also at djournal.com, you can find more on these stories in today's news memo. The hard work and efforts of three Northeast Mississippi cities were recognized during the recent Mississippi Municipal League Convention. Amory and Plantersville won awards for cities with a population of less than 10,000 residents. Starkville won the best overall award among all the 295 city, town, and village governments. The Mill at MSU took home the group's top award for Starkville and developer Mark Castleberry. The four-year, $40 million project converted a 1902 cotton mill into a conference center, hotel, and multi-level parking garage. Amory won the City Spirit Award for its Frisco Park Interactive Fountain Project. Plantersville won the Public Safety Award for a project in which the Volunteer Fire Department is selling signs with a home street address and highly reflective numbers.
Nearly 50 churches gathered in Tupelo for the Northeast Mississippi Baptist State Convention to listen to a week's worth of sermons, workshops, and musical acts. This year's theme was Equipping the Saints for the Work of Ministry. It derives from the Bible verse Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12. This year's convention was hosted at Life Changing Church Ministry with an estimated attendance of 500 people per day.
Former Tupelo School District Superintendent Randy McCoy will serve as the chairman of the Public Employees Retirement System of Mississippi. McCoy has been serving as vice chairman. At the board's June 28th meeting, McCoy became chairman for fiscal year 2017. He follows Lee County's Chancery Clerk Bill Benson. The board elected Mississippi Treasurer Lynn Fitch as its new vice chairman. The chairman presides at board meetings, appoints members of board committees, and can call special meetings.
Baptist Memorial Hospital, Union County, has been recognized as one of the top three hospitals in the United States in terms of high-value health care. The hospital was the recipient of the year's Premier Quest Award for top performance in the six areas measured by Premier. This is the second consecutive year the hospital has excelled in all six categories. The other two recipients were hospitals in Miramar, Florida, and LaGrange, Georgia.
An owner of Crossroads Rib Shack opens to open a new Corinth location in about 4 months. The restaurant has been in Corinth since 1996. The new location will be built on Highway 72 East, just east of the Napa Auto Parts store and across from Russell's Beef House. It will be a little larger and will have better visibility than the current location. There are also plans to add 4 or 5 new menu items once the new location opens. The current Rib Shack location will close when the new one opens. Another reminder that today's show is sponsored by South, a locally owned restaurant offering fine dining in a casual atmosphere. Always a lot going on at South. It's home to Tupelo's only Bellini Mimosa Bar on Saturdays. You can check out happy hour specials each weeknight, and trivia begins at 7 p.m. every Wednesday. The winner gets a $50 gift card. Check out South on North Gloucester Street in the former Shoney's location. Scott Morris joins us now to discuss Disney's new film, the BFG, as you said a moment ago, the Big Friendly Giant.
Not anything else, but
not
the Big
nothing
Friendly
else
Giant.
But the Big Friendly Giant. New Steven Spielberg movie didn't seem to capture the imaginations of a lot of people who I guess didn't go see it over the weekend. It's being called a bomb already.
Yeah, not very many people in the theater when I saw it. And I think part of it, though, might very well be Steven Spielberg's fault. That guy's been training us to expect thing, event after event after event when we go see a movie. He's trained us to be impatient, I think. And BFG is a patient movie. It kind of hoards its details and lets them out over time. And you have to kind of get into the movie's rhythms. And I was like going, what's going on here? Why aren't we moving forward a couple of times? But these times when I'm thinking that, the stuff happening on screen was often beautiful and whimsical and character building. So there was stuff happening. Again, it's not like an easy movie to like, but it is a movie that by the end of it, it had woven its spell.
You gave it a B.
I gave it a B.
What is it? But I guess you're saying, and I'm not speaking for you, but talking about how Spielberg kind of...
speak for me, and then you can correct me if my world's like for a while.
Spielberg letting us down. Is it the typical Spielberg movie magic? You know, I call it movie magic, and when I say movie magic, I relate that to Spielberg. E.T., you know, things like that, specifically from late 70s, early 80s, is very movie magic, practical effects and stuff like that. Is it still...
So, it's a mixture of live action and animation, and honestly, to me, I couldn't see the seams, but maybe that's because I was swept up. Maybe a more discerning eye could see the seams. So, I mean, it was made beautifully. So, the big friendly giant, this orphan sees him one night. She has insomnia, and so he kidnaps her because he can't have her blabbing around that giants exist. He takes her back to the land of giants, and... you know, the girl and he, Mark Rylance plays the giants, Ruby Barnhill plays the girl. You know, it's difficult to say who captures whose heart first, the girl or the giant. But, I mean, it's so organic the way that happens. They both kind of need somebody. They're lonely people who find each other, even though they're different, weird people. And there's a kidnapping involved, so I don't recommend you try this in real life. There's some wonderful, wonderful scenery, wonderful, whimsical moments. The BFG's job is to catch dreams, and they go to this place where he catches the dreams. And it's just beautiful. It's moving. The story is, and there are other giants bigger than BFG, and they come and threaten the girl Sophie and cause trouble and wreck things. And so then it all goes on from there. So that's kind of provides our conflict, but on the whole, it's just a very whimsical. I keep saying whimsy because that's what it is.
Yeah.
Because I mean, when he mixes up dreams, and you see him do it, and a part of me is going, well, this is taking a little bit long, except it is kind of cool, and so I'm kind of like those dual thoughts on it.
Yeah.
So to me, I gave it a B, and I felt the B as soon as it was over. And oftentimes, that's what I'll do is I'll, how do I feel? And whatever my first thought is, I'll just say, well, that's kind of where I feel. And I agree with that. But the further I've gotten away from it, the more I think about it and go, that was actually better than a B, I think. I mean, it's gotten better in my memory.
Yeah.
And here's why I think that's so. Is that I think it's not the kind of movie we're used to seeing. It's not a Spielberg again. That's partly his fault for having trained me to expect more action. But I think that everybody involved in this movie loved what they did. I think it was a labor of love. I think they crafted this thing. They built a really nice thing that I suspect will endure beyond this bomb. It might be something like in 20 years we may have a 20th anniversary of on DVD or Blu-ray or chip that goes into your neck. Whichever one it is.
Well, why do you think people have not flocked to see it opening weekend? Is it the source material? I mean, it's Disney. You don't often hear bomb associated with Disney and Steven Spielberg. The last Disney bomb I can think of was like John Carter from almost 10 years ago.
Yeah, and Roald Dahl.
Yeah.
Who, you know, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, yeah, among others. I have no idea, man. I think there's some grief in it. There's some loss in it. Roald Dahl is known for with his whimsy, injecting the negativity and the difficulties and such. And that's there. But I think that makes it better. But I have no idea people don't go see this.
Since it's Disney, it's not playing at both. It's playing at...
Well, this was at the Cinemark.
It's at Cinemark, okay. So, you gave it a B. Check it out, the BFG, this weekend at Cinemark in Tupelo.
Derek.
Leslie.
You want to talk to us about Sing?
Hey, I'd love to tell you what's going on this weekend. Good. The things do. We've already heard Josh Mitchell tell you about the 29th annual Slugburger Festival kicking off in downtown Corinth today. A lot of live music and yummy slug burgers to consume there. More on that, you can visit facebook.com/slugburgerfestival. Over in New Albany, their Levitt Amp music series continues this weekend with the band Driving and Crying taking the stage Saturday night in downtown New Albany at 8:30 p.m. Opening act Billy Pettinger will perform at 7:30. Visit newalbany.com. You can find out the full schedule for the 11 Amp music series going on all summer long in downtown New Albany on the weekends. Also, Tupelo favorite comedy group West of Shake Rags is going to have their live improv comedy show this Saturday. 7:30 p.m. in the Black Box Theater of the Link Center. Tickets are only $5 for that and a lot of laughs. So check that one out. It's kind of a mild weekend. Every once in a while, we enjoy mild weekends around here.
It won't be mild for me.
It won't? What do you have?
A MacRae / Chris family reunion in Grenada, Mississippi.
I thought you were going to say MacRae's. I was like, the department store MacRae's?
No.
Family reunion. We have a very tiny family, so we don't have family reunions.
Ours is getting tinier as people get older. But we haven't done this in about 10 years since my grandmother's been gone, and so we're having one.
My mother was an only child. My dad has one brother. They didn't have any kids, so it's not. It's just us, which it's not necessarily a bad thing.
Well. We don't have a lot of older folks anymore. I mean, I am one of the older folks
now.
You're but
young.
There are a lot of little cousins running around that I've never met. So
there's your chance.
That could be fun.
Check that out this weekend if you want to go. If you would like to go to the Chris family reunion, just you can email Leslie at leslie.chris@journalink.com. Find out the directions
there
for
you
that
go.
And head on over. That
there's a
free
be food
free,
and fishing.
Free
there's
and food. That's
a swimming pool for swimming and a pond for fishing.
Where is that going to be?
Grenada,
I'm there.
Talent show?
No, not unless that's something they've added.
So that sounds like fun. I'll be there.
Come on. Yeah. It'll be fun.
Can I ride with you?
Sure.
Get your ride? Great. Yeah. Awesome.
Absolutely.
BFG playing at Cinemark, as Scott said. You can check that out this weekend as well. That's going to do it for us today. We'll be back again on Monday. I guess Brad Locke's coming back.
Is he coming back?
I don't know. Maybe not.
Well, I don't know. It looked like he was on a lake somewhere. And where is he in Missouri?
By mutiny standards, I think I'm electing you to be the new permanent replacement for Brad Locke at all times on here. Once again, we remind you that today's show is sponsored by South, a locally owned restaurant offering fine dining in a casual atmosphere. Hey, check out their cheap date night every Tuesday night when the restaurant offers two meals for the price of one. That includes salad, sides, dessert, beer, or wine, all for $25. That's South on North Gloucester Street in Tupelo. Check us out online, memo.djournal.com, where you can stream new episodes or old episodes of The Memo. We're also available on iTunes, Satchel, and plenty of other podcatchers where you can listen to us and download and subscribe. And please review and rate us. Find out when new episodes are available. You can follow us on Twitter at DJournalMemo. All the stories we talked about today you can read in your daily journal or visit us online at DJournal.com to read more. And for the latest in breaking news, we are on Twitter at DJournal. Now I'm putting Leslie Chris to sleep, so that means it's time to go to the land of make-believe. We will see you guys on Monday. Goodbye, everybody.